What is up, everybody? Welcome back to This Week in the FCL as we continue our spotlight series where we shine a light on a personality or competitor in front of or behind the camera. Tonight, I am joined by the executive producer of the FCL and the head question writer, the man who makes this all tick from the background. He is also known for his work on Call to Action, PLD products, and the guy that helps make Andrew Guy and Ben Bateman look so, so good on Action Industries. He is, of course, PLD, Mr. Paul Denuzio.
Wow, that was quite the introduction. I feel flattered. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
I mean, listen, I've called you the patron saint of the Schmodown, so it's only right that I give you a pretty decent intro, Paul. Let's be honest now.
Wow, again, that's so much flattery. Flattery will get you everywhere, though, so it's all good.
I look forward to that, because I've got a few hard-hitting questions for you. So listen, if I could take that goodwill in the bank for now, and then listen, later on, I might need to cash it in. But listen, before all kind of like Schmodown and FCL talk, I kind of like want to get to know you a little bit, because that's the whole point of our spotlight series. We want to get to know you, the person. So before kind of FCL, Action Industries, all that, I want to know, who is Paul Denuzio? Where did you kind of grow up, Paul? Like, where kind of are you? What's your backstory, I suppose?
Backstory. All right, well, I'm born and raised in upstate New York. I grew up in the area right outside of Albany, the capital. I love New York City. I went down there as a kid all the time. I also went over to Boston quite a bit. My father always used to love taking us traveling across the country, like different places around the local Northeast. I didn't go too far away, but I loved playing baseball when I was younger. That was one of my first memories, playing baseball, going to ballparks, Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, the Sky Dome in Toronto. But really what I think was most about my past was basically, I think the same for everybody in our space, was movies. Movies is what I came to love, I came to get involved with. It was basically movies, comic books, and books. Anything, it almost feels like I have a horrible life because I always was trying to escape it. That's not true, but that's what I kind of felt like. That's my favorite parts of my life were taking place in different worlds, different universes, so to speak. So much so that I had a very early interest also in theater. So I used to be an actor back in the day. I actually went to college for acting, doing musical theater, theater of art, theater arts, things of that nature. I guess that probably has to do with movies as well. I wanted to be in a movie at some point. But yeah, that's my early age stuff, pretty much.
And are you still in New York now, or where are you based?
I am. I went to school in Jersey, just outside of New York, at Drew University for college. Like I said, I did the theater arts degree there, and I got a psychology minor. But I moved back up after I graduated because I just didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. Okay. I didn't have a lot of money at the time, so I kind of went and lived home for a little bit. I actually did a retail thing at FYE for a little bit because I still kind of figure out I was more interested in like having beer with the friends and doing all that kind of stuff. So I wasn't sure what I really wanted to do. in my heart, I kind of wanted to go down to New York City and start like trying to audition for shows and things like that nature. But I guess I wasn't quite ballsy enough to take that step to do that because that was like a full-on commitment of trying to like, I had to put myself all in. And I was much more hesitant about it. It was at that time during this period where actually I met my future wife. That's an interesting tale. It's not a famous love story I can think about. Like, we're actually not the couple that should still be together after 18 years. Today is actually my 18th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But you wouldn't have predicted this was going to happen. I met her like when I was doing a summer theater program. She was my waitress at Denny's. We used to do our summer theater rehearsal, me and my buddies, and then we go after rehearsals over like 10 o'clock, we'd go play some basketball for an hour or two. And at that point, at the end, Denny's was like one of the only things open. So we'd go to Denny's and hang out or whatever. And she was working overnights there for a while, so I met her there. She came to some of our shows, and it was kind of an off again, on again friendship for a bit. And all of a sudden, like after like 6 months, 7 months, we just got together. not going to lie, I don't know how PG we are here, but we ended up getting her pregnant like about a month into our relationship.
I mean, that's the start of every love story these days, isn't
exactly.
it, Paul?
You know, like how we get together.
You were a trailblazer when you think about it. You know what I mean? You set the trend.
Boom! I ran ahead. Went for it. And then we eventually got together, stayed together more, and here we are 18 years later. I got 3 kids, and we're still together. That doesn't usually happen. It's just my story usually the one that ends after like the first kid's born, and I usually somebody splits either way, but we made it work. And so I don't know how. I don't suggest it to anybody else. I think we're one in a million that made it work, but it worked, so I can't argue with it.
I mean, there's always edge cases with these things in this, and it's great to hear that after 18 years you guys are still going strong. And obviously I'm sure she's a big supporter in everything you do, but I want to kind of come back to movies. So obviously you know you've mentioned movies a big part, comic books and all that. What is your earliest memories of film growing up? Like, was cinema, going to the cinema, a big thing in your household? And what was the first movie you can remember seeing in theaters?
Cinema was huge. My father was never an outdoorsy guy. He's not very a hands-on guy, not a toolsy guy. He's much more so movie theaters was his big thing for us too. So he always he'd actually would used to love to go around the whole neighborhood. He'd gather up all the kids in the big Lincoln type car, whatever, and he'd bring us to the drive-in, as we love to do. We'd all be stealing, like, we'd go to the drugstore, get all the big candy and things like that, and we'd all watch the drive-in together. But if we didn't go to the drive-in, we'd go to the regular movies. It was a thing we did every week, and my mom never did that a whole lot with me, but the few times I did go with my mom are memorable as well, maybe because she didn't do it as much. It's more of my dad and me. My first movie I ever remember seeing in the theaters was actually Empire Strikes Back.
Amazing.
I'm dating myself there a little bit, I know. But that was the one I remember. I was like four years old. So born in 77. So around four or so. I don't remember much about it in the theater, to be honest with you. I remember being scared shitless of Yoda. Not Vader. Not the Empire. There was the moment on Dagobah where, like, Luke says, oh, Luke goes, I'm not afraid. And Yoda turns and just goes, you will be. You will be. And I was like, oh shit. And I was like diving the seats at that point. It scared the hell out of me. I remember that. And then I think I remember Snow White also being there. I think my mom took me to see Snow White because she loved Disney and that kind of stuff. So I had a soft spot for Disney, I guess. But Star Wars definitely made much more of an impact on me. I remember going home and I don't remember. It's funny now because I don't remember the first time I saw A New Hope. I don't remember when I see it. It just seems like I must have seen it. I must have like loved Empire, and so my dad must have got me on VHS or something like that. Or maybe he took me to see it. Like, they used to replay those in theaters a lot back in those days. The replays don't happen quite as often as they do now of more recent movies. But either way, that definitely stuck home with me. And then a couple of big 80s movies I really remember seeing in the theater. Like, I remember my theater experiences far more than I do watching stuff on video, per se, or anything. But I remember seeing Return of the Jedi with my cousin. I remember my grandmother took me to E.T. and I bawled like a little kid, the skin knee when E.T. was leaving and everything else. I didn't understand. I'm a crier. I'll admit right away. I don't care about anybody else saying it, what anybody says out there. I'm a big crier. I'll cry at commercials. I'll cry at anything. If it's like a fake thing.
What's the last commercial that made you cry?
I think it might have been the Budweiser one, the Clydesdales, perhaps. Maybe that was what it was. I don't know. Okay. Maybe. I can't remember that one necessarily. I know every time I watch something, I'll watch my wife looking over, are you crying again? Like, yeah. No. I mean, no, of course not.
I mean, Paul, that just means that you're a layered, developed person. There's nothing wrong with that. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that at all. But it's interesting that Star Wars was your kind of first memory. Mine was Lion King. So, like, watching the whole Mufasa and Scar thing, you know, when you're, whatever, six or seven, is just, you know, like, disaster. So, like, that kind of stuck with me a little bit. But is there any sort of movie quotes growing up that kind of still stick to you to this day, or is that kind of something that's kind of developed into your life more so as you're in this space? Yeah, that you kind of like find yourself quoting on a daily basis or anything?
It's funny you mentioned. I don't know. I think it's funny. I kind of can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I say movie quotes all the time. Like, if the situation is even close to it, I'll throw it. I always throw a Star Wars quote. Actually, it's funny. The only thing I always do, I could just bring this out of nowhere. It doesn't really fit anywhere, but my wife is even in that now. I'll just like start saying the line from A New Hope. I'll be like, you know, I got the death sentence on 12 systems. I'll be careful. You'll be dead. I don't know why. We'll just start throwing it out there together. So there's a lot of Star Wars quotes, usually the big ones. I'll throw in an indie quote now again. I say that one a lot, actually. Temple of Doom, now that comes to mind. I almost always, you can hear me saying at some point, no time for love, Dr. Jones, or something like that. Depending on what it meant at the time, it means anything, really.
True. I find myself saying you look good Dutch a lot these days. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a solid one, I think.
I do the Ed Harris from The Rock, obviously. You're down there, we're up here, you walk to The Rock, goddamn room commander. I don't know, just like throwing it out there. Anytime I can get Ed Harris in there, you know that's going to work.
I was going to mention that, but listen, you got there ahead of me, Paul. But listen, let's move into kind of like your online work. So you're notable kind of for PLD projects. So what was the reason behind creating that channel? And as the name suggests, it seems to be a place that kind of like you can speak to some of the passions in your life. And how important, as a secondary question, though, how important has that been to you personally to have a creative platform that you can speak your pieces?
So call to action was actually the first thing I ever did online, okay, as far as that went. I never really knew what this whole online thing was, really. I never really did podcasts when I was younger, until Disney bought Lucasfilm. Okay. Disney bought Lucasfilm, and I got excited about a new Star Wars trilogy because that was my jam. Obviously, everything else was always relaying about Star Wars. And that's kind of actually how I came to the Schmodown in a way. I sought out and found Jedi Council. I found, obviously, Christian and it was John Camp at the time, but also Ken Napsop being there, Mark Ellis. That's where I started doing the podcast thing, which got me into the Schmodown and everything else. But when Call to Action was started, it actually started before me, about 6 months before I was there. But I was definitely a big part of the Action Army at the time already, with Ben and Drew. A big fan of Ben and Drew, and watching Action Movie Anatomy, watching them as Team Action in the Schmodown. Having sort of raised through the ranks of the community, so to speak, of just being always being there, somebody asked me to join Call to Action. I didn't even think about doing anything for myself for a while, but Call to Action kind of gave me the bug a little bit. We obviously did Schmodown, mostly Schmodown stuff. In the early days, though, we did a little bit of extra stuff too. We did some movie rankings. I think we did like Best of the Year, whatever it was, 2018. I don't remember what year now. Time is but a construct at this point. Whatever
it was. It is. It all merges into one, doesn't it? Probably 2017. It was not when Action kind of was at their main run, I want to say.
I want to say something like that. We just won our second award in a row. That was 2021. So 2020. Actually, you know what? More like 2019, really.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's when I really started. I think maybe Action Army was starting to... I don't know. This is all
Time is just, you know, time is just time.
So I joined Call to Action at that time, but I also decided, like, you know what, I want a place that I could kind of call my own, because as everybody knows, Call to Action has like 12 hosts, 11 hosts. Like, we have a lot of hosts.
I think Brad mentioned at the awards a couple of years ago that you have like 75 hosts.
I mean, some of them are more honorary than anything else at the time. I mean, like, okay. I got to be honest, like, it got to the point where like probably four or five of us really did a lot of like the actual on-screen stuff. So, but either way, there's a lot of give and take, a lot of back and forth. I'm sure you're working with your team. You have ideas, you have... to give some, you get some, and there's some, you know, whatever. So part of me like, well, I can make out my own channel as well, and then it's all mine. I don't have to worry about anybody saying no to me or anybody arguing with me or anything else. I can decide what I want to do. I did see it as more of a sidebar to like Call to Action and later Action Industries and everything else. And I do still kind of feel a little like that at times, because obviously I've gotten so involved with so many different things that I obviously haven't done as much on PLD projects as I'd want to. I do my Star Wars show weekly, which I finally got to do and made that a little more consistent. And I do, but it's a lot of hangouts for us. I'll do some tier lists, like I did the tier list tonight, Pixar films, things like that, where people like talk to me about things. I'm like, yeah, I'll throw it up there. We'll just have it live, basically a live hangout. But I do have more stuff I want to do. I'm going to do a show. I've been really itching to do a show about Queen, my favorite band of all time, which is a big thing. I threatened the Harris dance a long time ago. I still think I want to do that. The only problem is I'm not very good at editing and not very good at, like, I'm the on-screen guy. Doing all the off-screen stuff is what my issue at this point. So I still got to learn a lot about that, and that's kind of held me back a little bit. But I do like having that home, because no matter what else is going on, you know, if I do nothing else, I can always go back to that. I'm never going to ever have a fight with myself over something, or never going to, anything's going to strike me down as far as like, I don't get bored with that. I can always talk about something online. I like to talk, obviously. So at least I have a spot. Even if it's not the biggest spot, I feel like it's a nice spot. That makes sense.
It's nice to have that sort of like little pocket of the universe that you can kind of call your own, and like, this is me, and these are the things that I like, and these are the things that get me excited. It's interesting that you brought Call to Action in there, so I wanted to touch on them for a second. So you guys have grown and grown and grown over the last kind of couple of years, and to me, I would consider you guys on a certain point of view to be kind of like the premier Schmodown after show to go to. How proud are all of you guys that something that started so small has like grown into that, that you're so well known and recognized within the community?
That is one of our greatest joys, I'll be honest with you. I will say, it might be controversial right now, maybe, but C2A actually has taken a little bit of time off this season a little more. We haven't been as consistent as we had been. We kind of, I don't want to say we burn ourselves out, but we worked really hard for 2 years trying to get that award and trying to be consistent and everything else. And we had a lot of life changes. I know we've had a couple of us, one of us moved, a couple of us changed to jobs. I've gotten busy with a lot of other projects here and there. We did actually start again tonight with a new show, but getting back in the gear. I feel we're going to start trying to kick ourselves back into gear again. But I thank you for saying that. We were, us having being the premier, one of the premiers with CPOV. CPOV has been kicking ass. I'm not going to lie. They've been very consistent. They almost kind of took up where we left off. I do love that. I still love that we beat them last year. I'm not going to lie. I'll be honest with you. All jokes aside, I actually thought they were going to win. I did. But we did earn it as well. But I thought we definitely did a good job with it. As far as how it got into the community and everything else, we were for a long time. The Rundown obviously retired its fan for it became an actual official show.
Yeah.
Some of the other shows had stopped. Take Three was big for a while, but they kind of slowed down and took off. A couple other ones that are good.
I think All the Belts, wasn't that another one?
Yes, by Leah. She was wonderful. That's actually where Mike Kalinowski got his heel turn.
Yes, so Christian always says anytime he gets a chance to bring it up.
He does. It's true. They are great, and they're great people. She only is an Action Army person as well, a wonderful person. I wish we actually had more contact with her. But it did. We kind of filled the void a little bit. The Action Army was built around live events. That's okay. Really where we really made our first real big punch. We kind of got online. We started doing interview shows. We finally found StreamYard around that time. I think we were one of the first to use StreamYard, I think. I want to say that. I don't know for sure about that, so don't quote me. But I believe we were one of the first. And that made a whole lot of difference because it's easier to plug and play. We just kind of talked amongst ourselves. We started getting guests on a little bit here and there. We networked a lot. And that's... What actually, it's funny, I'll tell you this right now, it was frustrating to Jake. Jake always said it, like, behind the scenes, he'll mutter a little bit. Like, that the pandemic opened up a lot for people, like, because all of a sudden people had a lot of time.
Yeah.
And everybody was doing shows, and everybody was doing everybody else's other shows. Whereas, like, back, like, a year and a half ago, like, no one was doing shows. The competitors weren't coming on to too many shows. It wasn't, like, a big thing. And we had to work our ass off to get these networking things and to get these things where, like, we're hammering home. And now it's like, oh yeah, I'll come on any show. It's just like that. In a way, it's so much easier now to get a guest on a show. It did take a lot of work at first though to do. But it was the live events that really drew us together. The live events, we got to go, I always say that Houston was where Action Army 2.0 kind of started. Like, there was Action Army beforehand, there was all kinds of the Facebook group, and there's a fan base, but that, like, live in-person stuff all of a sudden became legendary to a degree amongst the fans and the competitors that were there. And it became a thing, like, the Action Army just became like the Deadheads and kind of followed the Schmodown around to different events, and we're always there, but we were always trying to be friendly and open. If you saw us, we'd buy you a drink and have a good time, and it'd be fun. But it became kind of a thing where Call to Action became this pretty big thing at the time. It's funny that we started out as this, like, heel podcast.
Yeah. Was that a choice, or is that just something that happened naturally?
A little bit of both. I would say that, okay. Because we like Team Action. We like the heels. That was our favorite set. So we tried to basically do the same type of thing. Probably to a degree where we probably stepped over a line or two occasionally, because, like, we aren't necessarily part of the story. But yeah, we tried to be a little bit. I know we definitely ruffled a few feathers. We definitely ruffled John Rocha's feathers at one point. There's a whole history about that at one point. We all made peace, and it was all good eventually. The idea was we were just like, we would be healed. You know, what's up, assholes? And we'd talk down just like everybody else was. People were kind of a little shocked by that. But it definitely helped us stick out to a degree, I think, too.
Yeah.
We got to the point, I'm telling a little bit of stuff behind the scenes now. We definitely took a moment where we said, you know what? Some people, we blurred the lines a little bit, and some people aren't sure if this is real or if this is kind of a bit. where it was definitely more of a bit than anything else. And we realized some people didn't want to come on the show if they weren't sure. Like, we had to talk to them and they feel like, oh, so this is kind of a, you guys aren't really assholes. Kind of like in a way that's what Action did. Like, Ben and Gerald tell a story about how, like, they acted like assholes and be like, oh my God, they're actually nice people. Yeah, we're actually pretty nice overall. I'm going to call out John Rocha and root against him. I'm going to, root against Mike Kalinowski because he's against Action. I mean, that's my bit. But we had a definite time where we had, let's tone it down a little bit, round around a little bit, because we'd rather have guests come on and get to talk to them and get to dive deep. And that's what it did. I mean, Danny and I, when we did Chill Action, which is going to come back. We definitely took some time off. Danny had a lot of stuff she had to do. We do want to come back soon. We have some guests in mind and things, so that will return. But that was a big thing for a while. We got a lot. It became like the interview show for a bit for Schmodown. Like, every week we were consistently get somebody else new. I enjoyed working. I still enjoy working on Call to Action. I just haven't had as much time for it recently. I've had to step back a little bit in terms of being as proactive in the planning stages and things like that. I still will host. I still will network for everybody. I mean, I have no problem doing that, of course. But it still got my, still in my heart very much. I love the people there. I love the crew I work with for the most part. And so I'm happy with where we've gone and what we're doing. And sometimes take a break and you come back and hopefully you'll be as strong as we were.
Definitely. I think, listen, there's something beautiful about, like, all the different kind of, like, people coming together under kind of one umbrella. Because obviously, like, a lot of you are from different walks of life and whatnot, but you all had that, like, same shared kind of interest and goal, and that kind of, like, helped just push and kind of elevate it forward. So it's great to see that, like, it started at something, it grew to this. And, like, as I say, like, I do feel it is the premier Schmodown after show to go to. But that's just my own opinion. And I'm not trying to kiss ass. I'll be honest with you either.
I appreciate that. If you are trying to kiss ass, I still appreciate it.
That's exactly. It works both ways. But so we've talked about Call to Action, and I want to talk about Action in general. So it kind of does run through your work. And as mentioned kind of previously, you work very close with Andrew Guy and Ben Bateman, building and developing out AI Action Industries. Mm-hmm. What has it been like learning from them, and kind of as we move into FCL talk, picking up notes from them on their Schmodown experiences that kind of help you craft and draft everything that you produce for the FCL?
Okay. Well, Ben and Drew are wonderful, very wonderful, very supportive people. You made it right when I was a bit, like I said before, me and like Richard Eric Jarvie were in the Action Movie Anatomy chats all the time. We were big fans. When they wanted to start their Patreon up, we joined up. We got to get to interact with them more, and eventually Ben and Drew got this idea to start Action Industries out, with the idea being to take some of their closest friends and fans and things of that nature, and maybe we could build something together that would eventually be beneficial for everything, for everybody involved. That kind of eventually came and went a little bit. We had a bunch of people on Action Industries in the beginning, a lot of fans and friends, and some of them kind of fell off, and some of them didn't stick around, or whatever it was. It got to the point where now it basically is me, Ben, and Drew, and I stuck with them. I got to work really, really close with them on so many different levels. But I get to watch what they did. But the best thing about it is they never took me for granted. They never took me, and they never, like, held me back. They were always extremely supportive. And every time that I have done something that's gotten notice or gotten my own head up in the community, so to speak, they were over the moon about, and they pushed me any way they could. And they, like, for, like, even if it was just, if it was C2A in the beginning, they would push C2A. They were always happy to plug C2A for us. They'd go on C2A and tell me wanted to. They made sure that everyone knew that we didn't have anything to do with them. Like, it sounds like it's like, oh, that's not us. But it was more about that's not anything we're doing. They're being so amazing on their own. That's what they would tell people.
It's kind of born out of us, but it's not us exclusively. It's kind of the angle that I always kind of felt they were saying.
And that's exactly what my favorite one they ever mentioned. Like, we were talking about the first time the awards were up, I believe. And they're like, oh, well, Action's out in the award, right? Called Action's out in the award this year or whatever. And I'm like, yeah. And they both went like, It's almost like an award for us, but I feel like proud parents in a way. Apparently, you guys are doing this on your own, and like, but you're still venturing out with the brand, so to speak. But they have been, again, like I said, they've been very supportive in getting me involved. I'm actually get to be on screen with them a lot, and they would be encouraging because they're much more professional hosts than I ever was. I remember, like I said, when I started joining Call to Action, I had no experience doing anything like this. I still feel like I'm still learning a lot. You'll find that I feel like I fit better sometimes behind the scenes sometimes than I do in front of the camera. But I feel I've also made enough headway where I kind of know what I'm doing a little bit now. But I still feel like I'm learning from them. Every time I'm on screen with them, I'm like, I realize that they know what they're doing and they are very good at what they do. So I just try to watch them and try to learn from them. They will answer any question I have. I have come to them about every opportunity I've had. I go, look, you have hired me to this job. I got this offer from this. I got this offer from this. What are your thoughts? And that was with from Schmodown stuff. When I started first doing Coming Up Next briefly, I got their opinions on that and what to expect from working under the Schmodown brand, for example, what to do, what not to do. And they always said, I kind of was wondering, I wonder, the first time I tried to do something in addition, I was kind of like, I don't know, they're going to be okay with me branching out like that. And they were so quick to say, if you think you can do both, at first they actually said, well, I guess I didn't think we were going to keep you forever. So, you know, I'm happy you're advancing yourself. I'm like, no, wait, I want to stay. I want to try to do both because you guys are my boys. I'm action for life. I love the action brand. I just want to try to do this in addition to it. And they're like, oh, well, if you think you can do it, then absolutely go ahead and do it. So they're always there for me whenever I need any kind of questions answered or anything, advice, anything like that. And they give me some even like without even being asked. They'll say, this is not what you're doing. This is what you should be doing, or not should be doing, but this is what we feel you can maybe do this instead of this. Maybe try this instead of this. When you go to have a guest on, maybe try this instead of this. And it's nice to have from that kind of level of people that they don't have to do that for me. I mean, this is stuff that they learn. I mean, some of these people, especially Ben and Drew and others out there, they may take classes for this. They take all sorts of hosting gigs and everything else, and they're willing to work with me because they love working with me and they want to see me succeed. And I think they know that if I succeed, they succeed to a degree too, in a way. I come from them, and I'm always going to give credit to them for that.
Again, it's that same thing, that kind of like extension of what they are almost. I think it's great that like everything that you're saying, they come across like such good people. Mm-hmm. Like in general, so it's great to hear that behind the curtain that they are great people as well. But there's no question that they, as I said, like we all support them in our own ways, and you know, whether it be the Patreon or like likes on videos, super chats, whatnot. But they are two of like the best people in this space, and really? That says a lot considering that there's a lot of decent, good people in this space. Mm-hmm. So listen, let's move into Schmodown and FCL. So I want to talk about the FCL. Obviously, you're the big man. You're the man in the chair, as I like to say. EP, head question writer. There's a lot of people coming to you when they have like questions and whatnot. Yeah. But in terms of the FCL itself, so Christian kind of spoke about it a couple of months ago when they were talking about getting it started. And kind of the vibe that he was giving out was that he wasn't sure who was a runner and that he would need someone else to kind of take it on. And then it kind of popped out that Brad was going to be at the helm and it just started to gather steam. Can I ask, when were you approached to come in and work on it, and how long have you been working on it as we approach what is the start of kind of like the third month of matches? Okay. Like how far back have you been involved in, can I ask?
You can ask. I have to hold back on really. I guess you could say the first inkling of it was a while back. It's kind of, there's two different answers to your question, to be honest with you. Do you remember when Brad and Jen started doing Coming Up Next, they did an episode or so together, maybe two, but it was really kind of new and kind of off the cuff, and they're trying to figure out this show for SCN. And I had talked to Christian about something. I don't remember what it was I was talking to him about. I talked to Christian a few times about general things and action stuff and everything else. Either way, I had mentioned to him, and he goes, okay. And then he went on to say, oh, and by the way, Brad is going to be contacting you. He thinks he might want to help him on Coming Up Next. And I went, oh, yeah, that sounds good. I said, that sounds great. And then he goes, and what do you think about helping out with minor leagues next year? And I went, oh, well, I'm certainly interested. Well, that sounds kind of cool. Okay. And that was kind of left. That's where it left.
Okay.
Didn't hear anything for a while. I did coming up next. We did like seven or eight more shows. I ended up taking over for taking over more. At first, I was actually just a producer and writer. I kind of wrote some of the segments. Me and Jen Sturger and I worked heavily on like the segmented idea. And we'd talk to Brad about things and everything else while RB3 did the tech. Then RB3 retired, or not retired, he moved on to his next gig. And that's when I hadn't never worked with OBS. But because I had produced Call to Action for a while, I think they just thought I was ready. I'm kind of like, if you're going to teach me, I'll give it a shot. And I got to be honest with you, I was scared shitless because I had tried OBS with Call to Action before. Right before we found StreamYard, we had found OBS. And I was just so like, I'm not that great technically. I'm like, this is annoying. And this is, I couldn't get synced right. I'm like, this is, I hated that. And like, once we found StreamYard, I was like, oh, good for it. I just chucked OBS out of the way. I never even thought about it again. They use OBS. I'm kind of like, oh, well, I guess I'll give it a shot. So with a week's notice, I had to learn OBS.
Oh, Jesus.
And we had some moments, but I kind of made my way through, and nobody really noticed how bad it was, I guess. And it took like seven or eight episodes with them, I think, at that point. But then at the end of the year, December, I got the note from Brad later on that we were going to be canceled because the idea that was at the point where they had said, all right, we're going to do three showdown matches a week.
Yeah.
And so it was obviously in the case of like they liked the show, but they basically needed room for stuff at that point. So
which
like,
is all fair right. enough.
Right. So at that point, nothing still. When we had our last show, I messaged Christian after. He was like, you know, thank you for the support. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, I understand business decision. Absolutely. Hopefully, maybe sometime down the line, we can work on something. And I came back and he was like, you know, like, don't worry, I got something in mind. I went, okay, that's cool. And a couple of months went by, I think. I'm trying to get the timeline down for you. But I want to say I got approached about it to join a team. They said basically Brad was going to be the team. Dwayne was going to be doing engineering. We had other guys, Sandy Robinson was going to be involved. And then I was going to be involved. That was the main four people that they were first starting to take in place. The idea was to have me be the head writer and producer, as well as maybe helping out booking, things of that nature. And the idea would be that I would get to hire a team of writers, so to speak. Although it wasn't all my decision. Christian had people in mind that he wanted to throw my way. And of course, I'm going to listen to the boss at that point.
Definitely. Yeah. And also more people helps the workload off you also.
I was happy to have more. Sure, that's great. I could always use more. That's what I always say. I know PJ has a crew too, of course. I got to give credit for PJ. PJ definitely threw my name into the ring. Gave him his vote of confidence in me as far as being able to be the head writer. So that definitely meant a lot to me. I'm a big fan of PJ and his crew. I work with PJ a lot. We've talked all the time now. We talked all the time then too, to be honest with you. So that didn't change a whole lot. But I guess the interesting thing about it is like, we got this idea that we're going to do FCL potentially. Brad's the chairman. Here's your position and everything else. But we had to like wait until it was like approved on things. Like we're kind of like working way through, okay, what's this going to be? And then we got the notice finally. All right, we're approved. We got it all worked out. We're going to be going ahead. So, okay, we'll go ahead. And we went through it. We didn't have as much time as I thought we were going to have. I'll be honest with you. Because it's like, I think we didn't really get the full-on go-ahead and really get all into it until probably about 6 weeks before the first match.
Right. That's tight.
It's tight.
That's tight.
I initially talked to Brad, like, can we shoot for, when we were initially having our initial discussions, let's shoot for maybe mid to end April to be our start date. And they got it back, so we're like, nope, we're going to start on March 30th. All right. I put a challenge in front of me, then I'll take it. And I'm going to take it and go with it. So it was definitely tough, but that's obviously when we went. The first thought we had was, all right, we're going to just start with singles. We're not going to touch Star Wars or IG, I think, at this point. We do want those eventually, but you can only do so much in a short amount of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Get this established. So we had to do a lot of work in a short amount of time. Got to get the auditions out there, talk to people. I mean, we obviously were first initially had the Schmodown auditions, luckily.
Yes.
We obviously used a lot of that to call the ones who didn't make the draft or the ones who made the draft and didn't get drafted. That the David Campbell.
You had a nice little pool there that you could pull in straight away.
And that was the main thing. I got to be honest, that's the thing I remember most. It was the night of the draft. where Brad and I and Dwayne, I believe, and Miss Sandy as well, we were just talking on a group chat, talking about who was drafted and who wasn't drafted. They're like, oh, that person hasn't been drafted yet. Kind of thing. That's what we want to do. Like, who's that person? And at the same time, we made the Twitter for the first class league and everything else. So it was a lot of give and take. I will say, so long story short, is that it was about 6 weeks before we really started going full on board. This is what we're doing. This is what we got to do and get it done. I want to throw a quick shout out. Brad Gilmore has been phenomenal. Brad has a mind for this. He loves live events. He loves this opportunity. He's not one to be shaken by things. He's very good to roll with the punches. He's very good to, all right, fuck it, it's live. He says it can't go wrong if it's live. It's like it's always something to be said about it. So, but he's a dream to work with. He's easy to talk to. He listens. He trusts his team. It's been a pleasure working with him. I'll say that.
He again, no more than when we were talking about Ben and Drew, Brad again, he's in that sort of like grouping of like really
Yes.
decent person, decent
Yes.
hardworking pro. So it's great to hear that like listen and everything is going and running smoothly as can be so
Right.
far. But it has been so entertaining. And I kind of want to get into sort of like we've had about 8 weeks, which has been great. You know, we've got our first title match in June. I want to kind of get your views on what has been kind of like your feelings on the season so far. What scoops can you give us if you can on what's to come? And where do you think like there's kind of growth for kind of expansion and development?
Okay, that's a lot of stuff to answer at once, but I'll try to do my best. Where do I feel like it's gone so far? I feel like we're just really starting to truly hit our groove now. I do feel 8 weeks in or so. Because, like I said, it was so early, we kind of were in a little bit of a rush job. I gave out a rule book, just like the Schmodown did, and it was basically, not gonna lie, it was pretty much adapted straight from the Schmodown. I made a few changes,
Tweaks.
a few tweaks here and there. Thank good word choice there. I made some things that were easier for me. Eventually, like one of the things we did right away is I never liked the idea of why there's like 8 questions in round one for singles, 10 in IG, and 6 in.
Keep it standard.
Keep it centered. 8 for round 1, 4 for round 2. That's what we're doing. And that's what I made it. I know, and that's why Star Wars the same way. I'm just going to make it all the way across the board. Christian and Brad both. Christian, I will say, Christian's definitely given us a lot of autonomy here in terms of they said, you can try things out. No problem trying things out. Brad wants to try things out. And I feel like we're going to try a few more things out as we go. Again, that like kind of rush time is we didn't want to, if it wasn't broken, don't try to fix it at that point. We had the first couple of matches go down. They went well. Obviously, some glitches with Skype and everything else. I gotta give a major shout out to Dwayne. Having Dwayne do his stuff is amazing. He is really a true professional and great at what he does. Anything that was off, we fixed pretty quickly and everything else.
And I have to say, everything looks great, Paul. Like it, like the I love the fact that it does look so smooth and so professional looking. The way the questions come up in round one, the scores are ever rolling all the time, and the little segues and kind of bringing in the wheel, and then everyone's just rejigged around. Like it is such a smooth looking production from the outside looking in.
I really appreciate that because that's something we wanted to do. Honestly, our goal is to look better than the Schmodown. That's not gonna. I'll call it that. We want to look better than the Schmodown, because we know we're the developmental league. We're obviously the stepchild so far. Obviously, everybody's watching the Schmodown. We got to give a little bit more. Find ways to be more entertaining or find ways to be more engaging and get people to watch because we don't have like the star power that's already established, like a Dan Merle. Or like Ben Bateman or John Roker, that kind of thing. We're going with a lot of new people or a lot of people who had not had enough chances in the big leagues in the Schmodown itself, so they're gonna try to make their way in the FCL. But we made up for it. I think, like I said, we're trying to make it up for it in production. I do think we look good, and that's a lot on Dwayne, and a lot on JP, our graphics guy, who does a great job of graphics. JP is another guy from the Action Army, where Ben Drew does all of Ben and Drew's thumbnails and things of that nature. So he's right there with us in Action Army. So I do love where we're going. I feel like I said, we're just now hitting our groove with things. We want to get that championship match underway and out of the way. Not out of the way. We want to get to there, and that's what we want to see. That's the climax, the first like part of the story. I have an idea. I don't know if this is a scoop or I don't know. I don't. I guess I could say I had an idea for the championship match. I haven't confirmed with Brad yet, so I can't really say anything about it. If it ends up not being anything, you'll not. You won't. You'll see. If you see the championship match, there'll be something maybe different about it, and then you'll know what I was talking about.
Okay. And can I ask, are you planning? Okay, so obviously, parallel to that, is the plan to have it 5 rounds like a normal MTS?
That is part of my discussion. It's part of what I'm
talking about. Perfect. Okay.
I have to say, I haven't heard back from some things. But yeah, the idea is definitely to make it a special match that way and everything else. I will say also that we plan, I guess this might be kind of a scoop, but I don't know if we've said this anywhere out loud yet, but we are planning on like the first matches in July. That will be hopefully the first of the IG.
Oh, perfect.
Division. And maybe start doing some more Star Wars matches then as well. I'm not as worried about the Star Wars match because like, we had that. That was the thing that it's kind of a funny thing. And I think Brad will be okay if I tell you this. We obviously had no plan to do Star Wars or IG until after the championship match. That was our initial plan. We had no plan. We'll get these done, and then that'll give us time to kind of build up the Star Wars bank of questions and the IG bank of questions. And then kind of Brad came to me and goes, Tuesday falls on May 4th. May the 4th be with you. I need to do a Star Wars match. I went, all right, I'll do let's do one Star Wars match. Okay, I will do one Star Wars match. Yeah, we should just do two Star Wars. Just do a whole night of Star Wars. All right. and I love Star Wars. It wasn't that big of a deal, but as far as definitely, I only had about, I think, 2 to 3 weeks to really get a Star Wars match together.
Okay.
And that's a lot. Like it feels like it shouldn't, it doesn't seem like it's a lot, but like, you got round one questions. So you need at least 2 matches of round one questions, including a bonus question if possible.
So there's 18 straight away needed.
Second round, you need about 10 to 15 wheel slices full of questions. So, and I try to have, okay, here's a behind the scenes stuff from my document, which again, I adapted a lot out of PJ's document. I try to have at least 10 to 11 questions per slice.
Okay.
I try to write like a couple of different levels of questions. I want to give Brad choice to what he wants to do. I want to do something. This is the one you have to ask. So I try to have like 4, 1 level 4, the other. So like anywhere between 10 and 12 questions. So there again, right there, if I did the same wheel slice, that's the only way I cut down on it. I decided they were both going to have the same wheel. That's what I decided. I grabbed that. They both have the same wheel. So therefore, that's whatever 10 wheel slices times
40 questions by 2, so 80. So there's 100 questions straight away before you get into round 3.
In round 3, you need 20 categories, at least, because it's a 1 through 20. And then you have, again, I try to do 10 questions per category. So it just came, it was a lot of work for a couple of weeks to get through to make sure vetting analysis. And this is not my only job. I have a real, real job. And I also work with Action. I also do C2A stuff. So it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff to come back with. And my team did well. I got to say, my team did very well for me. They helped me out tremendously. And I think I'd say this. I don't know. Yeah, I said this somewhere else. I can say I got a couple of questions thrown at me by the champ, by Andrew DiMilano threw me a few.
Oh, very good.
Sean Sullivan threw me a few. I'm not going to lie. But we got done. But now the best part about that is that we have a bank now.
Yes, we got started. That's the main thing.
So I can kind of tweak it as I go along. Once you get that bank, you can kind of tweak and go, okay, I need a few questions here. Oh, they use that category. We can use that. I don't have that yet for IG, so that's my next part. I just started. I sent one of my team is now exclusively just writing for IG in preparation for July. I'm like, you're just going to just go write IG for now, the next couple of weeks. And then I'll join them as we get closer and closer within more of us to it at this point. But the idea. But if you want to talk about, you know, I'll talk about it real quick, different changes and ideas. That's the Star Wars one. It's a big one. The idea, the ability to get to use small screen Star Wars.
That's what I was actually going to come to. Who made the call on the field on that, and how interesting and difficult has that been to incorporate that within the league? Or the division, apologies. It was your call.
My idea. I've been with my idea. I think Brad actually, I don't want to say it's complete, because I think Brad was actually had the same mindset idea. I was like, well, what do you think about that? The idea I had when I first got this was like, I don't know if Christian's going to allow it or not, because Christian doesn't have it in the big leagues. But I remember that at one point he had mentioned, oh, maybe someday. To his credit, we asked, and he's like, hey, as long as you tell them what's coming on, as long as you tell your competitors,
go ahead.
I was like, okay, then, that's cool. But that opened up a whole lot of doors, and it was a little daunting. Not gonna lie, a little daunting, because you're asking a lot of questions now, trivia about, like, do you go individual episodes of different
things?
And it's like so minute comparatively. I'll call spade a spade here. FCL is obviously a developmental league. We're not going to be, we're trying to develop these players or talents for the Schmodown level. But we're not going to have a Star Wars match that Andrew DeMilan is going to be competing in. We're a little bit more of a developmental side. So I've got to take the questions down just a little bit. But this seems like something that would have to be in the big leagues. So I made a decision that I can make a decision. I can give a little, like, dip my toe in the pool without jumping in with a cannonball. And that's why I went to, instead of having like, oh, we'll add slices for Clone Wars, we'll add slices for Rebels, we'll add slices for The Mandalorian, I'll add one slice.
Yeah.
Small screen Star Wars, one slice. I'll throw it in the first round, because I know people are excited about it, and there's a lot of people who like that idea and they want to do more, and that's something that helps differentiate us. But I'll have one slice for small screen, where we can kind of throw in any questions about Mandalorian, Rebels, and Clone Wars, and things like that. The idea being, I'm hoping that eventually Schmodown will pick up on that and maybe try to do that themselves. Is there a chance I expand it out even further as we go along, like next season? Maybe make actual Mandalorian slices and stuff? Potentially. But I made that decision then. I wanted to keep it to canon, and I didn't want to overwhelm them, so I cut Resistance off, because Resistance was the least favorite show from everybody for the most part. It's a much more kid-oriented show. I had to have Mandalorian in, and Rebels and Clone Wars made the most sense as Dave Filoni property. They were the big three. So I'll make those be the ones we concentrate on, and then we'll see how that goes, and maybe later we'll develop it differently as we go along. That's one big way we decided to make a difference, and I like what happened that first day. I like the excitement it bred, and so I'm definitely keeping it for the Star Wars division, and we'll have to see how it goes.
I think it's something as well that, like, you just, and this is just from my own opinion, looking on the outside, looking in, is once you do it once, then you've done it, and then you can kind of build and grow and develop from it because you've done it. You know, you've broken the seal, so to speak.
Yes, good call. It's exactly how I feel about it. It gets a little excitement out there, a little bit difference.
And obviously, I don't know how far down planning you guys have in the bank so far, but is the aim to kind of, hopefully, kind of in the same way that the Schmodown kind of works, the spectacular, that you guys will have an FCL spectacular towards the end of the year? Or what would you guys envisage in terms of, like, the title matches and whatnot, where they kind of intersperse them within the calendar year?
I will say we have had discussions.
We'll leave it there.
I don't know how much, like, we don't have, it's not even that I'm hiding anything in terms of that fact that we don't have anything officially decided on. We do have some events in mind, some ideas to be different. We've talked about, I mean, obviously we liken the Schmodown to wrestling to a degree. The Schmodown has taken some wrestling pay-per-view ideas. The Royal Rumble becomes the free-for-all, that kind of thing. We've toyed with some ideas that way. Potentially tapping a Survivor Series type style match, perhaps. We're not entirely sold on anything, any one aspect. We definitely want to have some haymakers to throw here and there to get you guys excited about things. And if I had my way, I'd love to have some kind of eventual interaction with maybe the Schmodown at some point. Not player versus player and everything, but maybe we could have a presence in some different places. We started going to live events and stuff. We started doing spectacular promos and things. I remember Spectacular last year, the last year was live, and had that great expo, which was kind of cool. I was there. That was a lot of fun. So something like that could be involved as well. It's still in motion as the future, as Yoda would say. But we do have a lot of ideas we've tossed out there. We just kind of circle them and hone them down a little bit and go from there.
Perfect. No, listen, I think the fans are really excited to see where it goes. You know, hearing you and kind of hearing your enthusiasm for it, like, really will help kind of build it and grow. Stefan and Brad on the mic directing traffic every Tuesday have been great. So listen, I think we're all really excited of where the FCL is going to go. But I want to end this conversation with a couple of quick fire questions. I know you guys do something similar on call to action. So
it's not fair. I'm just giving these questions.
I mean, listen, the easiest thing, Paul, is to always just copy what works, shall we say. So listen, they're not too hard, I hope not. But so I'm going to fire at a few things. First thing that comes to your mind, answer. So the first question is, first concert you were ever at?
Billy Joel, I think. Billy Joel. Wait, no, I lie. I'm sorry. Bon Jovi, New Jersey tour, 1988.
Oh, amazing.
That's a good one. I was young, so I didn't quite understand. I didn't have quite the gravity of the situation, I think. In fact, I went to the show with my father and this other friend of my family kind of thing. And I saw the opening act. I don't even know who the opening act was. It might have been Skid Row, maybe. I don't even know who the opening act was. But I was I kind of didn't understand what a concert really even was. So I watched it. I watched the opening act. And then they were done after like 20 minutes or whatever, the usual opening act thing. I'm like, wait, was that Bon Jovi? That's it? I don't get it. And I'm like, no, that was just them. Like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden John Bon Jovi came in. Because the seats I were at weren't that great. It just saw a bunch of long-haired rock stars doing music. I'm like, all right, that's fine. But then I saw John Bon Jovi like flying in on the zipline or whatever it was. And I started hearing the song. I'm like, oh, that's Bon Jovi. Okay, that's where we are. Okay.
This is when it starts now.
That's where it really starts.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is.
That's a good one. Okay, favorite Schmodown announcer on the desk of all time. Pick one.
Team Guy. Andrew Guy right now.
He's killing it. He's absolutely killing it. He's really, really good. Favorite division of Schmodown?
Oh, it was back to Star Wars. It always was back to Star Wars for me. That's why I got into the Schmodown to begin with. It was the Star Wars matches. I used to skip ahead. I'm like, I want to see this. I don't care about these. Let's see the Star Wars matches. I got into all the rest of them, obviously, now. But Star Wars is still my go-to.
This is probably going to tie into this one. What's your favorite match of all time?
Oh, Guy Merle.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Whitwer and Knapsack there for a second.
In a way, I get it. But Guy Merle, I was to watch this day because of how unexpected it was.
Yeah.
I remember watching this and talking to Andrew, because I was working with him a little bit at that point. I was talking to Andrew before. I'm like, yo, go kick his ass, Seabass kind of thing, and like make it happen. And Nobody believed them and everything else. And I'm watching it, and I'm watching it go down, and I'm just, my favorite part of the whole thing is watching Christian.
Oh, yeah. He is just like, he does not want to be on the desk at all watching this.
Like physically uncomfortable. Boy. I always say, he starts going back to his chair, like, he has no idea what to do. So a guy comes out, he starts flipping off everybody and everything. Yeah. So I actually, one of my favorite parts is watching the when Brianna was running the Patreon, they had the behind the scenes of that.
Yes.
And they showed everybody, the audience is going, what the fuck? And then like it pans afterwards, you see like guy dancing in the back. I'm like,
If anyone was Guy in that moment, I think we would all have the same reaction. So, I mean, he kind of did it all for us, I suppose. But so the next question is, who's the boss or the family?
Family. I got to be Team Guy. I do actually like, I mean, I'll tell you real quick, like now, I am always been, when actions split up, for the first couple of months, I was trying to keep them together. I was like the brokenhearted child. I bought a Team Guy shirt and a Team Bateman shirt. So I went to the first live event, and Christian saw me. He's like, who you got? Who you got in your Civil War? And I just opened the shirt. It still had the team. Oh, a spider in front of me. Wow, impressive. I still had the team. I'm Team Action. So I said, it's all a ploy. It is all a ploy. Bateman is going to be, you know, he'll infiltrate the horsemen and defeat them from within. I had his whole thing mapped out. It wasn't until Houston where I finally made my allegiances clear. And I went with Team Guy because he was the heel. He was more the heel than Ben was. And so so everything ever since then, it's been Guy. Now that Guy's kind of been retired from active play, doing more of the stuff, I can find myself liking Baby again because he brought the cackle back. He brought the heel side back, the more action-y side. So I allow myself to like action again. But if you cook me up family versus who's the boss, I got to say, I'm always going to be Team Guy.
Okay, perfect. Before the pandemic hit, what was your most anticipated movie? Obviously, we'll eventually get there, I'm hoping.
Probably Dune. I think it's got to be Dune because I'm a big Denis Villeneuve fan. He's my favorite director currently working at this point. Spielberg, old time, but Spielberg hasn't been Spielberg in quite a while. I still like a lot of Spielberg stuff. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a hater. Even his recent stuff, I still enjoy, but not to the same level. Villeneuve has definitely made his mark known on me. I haven't disliked a movie of his yet, and his movies so far have been some of my favorites of the decade. Prisoners, Sicario, Arrival, Blade Runner 2049 is my favorite movie of the 2010s. I'm a big sci-fi guy, so this is a great marriage to me. And Dune actually seems like it's similar to Blade Runner 2049 in the way it's shot, things of that nature, and the great cast. So without a doubt, it's Dune. I'm so excited about that.
What's your favorite beer?
Favorite beer? Oh, dude. I actually don't drink beer much anymore. I'm a whiskey guy now, if anything else. But if I had to pick one, Killian's Red is so the old Killian's Red. Killian's Red kind of changed its recipe at one point, and it was never quite the same. But back in the day, Killian's Red was mwah at that point, but I digress.
Okay, I suppose you probably answered my next one. What's your favorite spirit then?
Oh, it's definitely whiskey. I'm a whiskey guy. Jameson or Jack Daniels or any kind of good whiskey, I'm fine with, but that's my go-to. I always have a Jack Daniels bottle or a Jameson bottle. I famously drank very much at the Action House for the Spectacular. They bought a bottle of Jameson. I ended up just taking the whole bottle and just drinking the whole bottle myself. That was the night that the family retired. Andrew got retired.
And you rang him, didn't you, or something?
I called Andrew guy like 15 times. I called Bateman like 3 times. I almost called Roxy at that point. And then they stopped me from that, but then finally Drew did call back, and he laughed. He thought it was hilarious. Actually, he told me that later on, he thought it was hilarious. I still take credit because he unretired the next day, so I take that. As Shred on Cannon, it was my calling him. I talked him out of retirement.
Okay, I've got 3 more left for you.
Okay, that's good.
Would you like to see FCL champions defend their titles before being picked up in free agency?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Selfishly, yes, to a degree. But the idea of the FCL and what Brad and I and the whole team get and understand is that we are a developmental league. So if somebody from the FCL gets called up to the Schmodown, that means we've did our job, and that's a win for us. So our champion going up to the big leagues, that's a win. That's a big win, so we have to applaud that, and we can't be too upset about it. We obviously, if they won a championship, we'd like to see them defended and everything else. And what's going to happen when that happens, when a champion gets the title and goes up, I'll have to figure that out when we get there at that point, I guess. But so yes and no to a degree. Of course I want to see I like our players, so I love our player. I love a lot of our team. So getting them to see them more is never going to be a bad thing. So I guess it's maybe a cheap way of saying yes and no.
Perfect. Okay, so penultimate question. Yes or no, an FCL graduate will compete for a Schmodown title by the end of season 9?
By the end of season 9?
9. I'm giving you an extra year.
Yes.
Okay. And your final question, sir. One piece of advice on how to build an audience and build a following when starting a new channel.
Ooh. I don't know if I'm actually the person to ask that. People have done that for me, generally speaking. I guess, honestly, I'll give a second joke answer. You go to a live event, you buy them a lot of alcohol, and you get to know them and love them. But it's actually not too far off the mark, honestly speaking. The best thing I always felt to do is networking. It depends on what you're doing. Obviously, in this kind of community, it's different than starting on your own with nobody in sight. If you're just going to throw something on the internet, that's one thing. But in something like this, the more you get to know people, people want to watch your stuff. People want to watch your stuff, that brings other people involved and gets more people in here. So you start networking more and more, you get to know people more and more, and it's like friends watching friends. So it's a way to get your name out there and start doing good stuff. But the main thing I learned, honestly, from anything, and this goes for either side, whether you're in the community or out of the community, is consistency. Okay. Anything that you do, and I haven't even always followed that, this is why PLD Products probably taken off, because I've had to like take time off here and there. You do things, you find time, you do it weekly, or whatever your schedule is, you stick to it. Because then people always find a way to come back to you. If they like your stuff, like, oh, every Monday night at this time, I'm going to watch this show, because that's what I'm doing. And if you're not there, like, oh, I forget, when's it coming on next? Oh, next week, maybe? Okay, well, maybe I'll come back for that then. That doesn't work. Chilled Action on CTA, one of the reasons I think that call went so far and chilled it so far is because we went a year straight on Chill Action And I think we took 1 week off, maybe. And that was like a holiday week. Like we went like 50 some odd 60 weeks or something of just pure every week we did a show. And it was almost we almost had no repeats and guests in a way. So we always were consistently giving new interviews with new people. And I think that really did help us out. So consistency is my big thing.
Paul, thank you very much for your time. This has been a great, great conversation. Really do appreciate it. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you and follow you and all the things that you do?
At Paul underscore D'Annunzio on Twitter. You can find me on PLD Projects on YouTube, as you said. We do a Scoundrels of the Force Star Wars show every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern is when we go. You can find me on the Action Industries YouTube channel when Ben and Drew do shows Friday and Sunday. Every Action Unfiltered on Friday, Action Guys on Sunday. Saturdays they do some rotations, some Patreon exclusives. But Saturday is also a day we do Root of the Question once per month, which is our breaking down of the Schmodown questions, which actually I have a much more of an insight now on than I did when we started the show, obviously. But it's actually a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun in
It's a
that
great
show.
show. It's a really, really great show.
Thank you.
As a guy who loves the science behind questions and why you would and wouldn't get it, like it's a fantastic show for me just to watch.
I gotta say, I'll throw a little bar in there. That was kind of funny. Our first episode did not go over so well with
No,
people.
no.
I had a bunch of people in my DMs afterwards and everything else, and like, I think a lot of people maybe jumped the gun on what it was supposed to be and everything else and what they thought it might be. But since then, Christian actually laughed it off later on. He watched a second episode like this, going, "Oh God, I'm supposed to say what now?" But we did actually. Everybody's come around. We actually had PJ on. Once and now and everything else, and he backs us now. He understands what we're going for, and he appreciates what we're going for. Actually, likes it a lot. But yeah, so that action, like I said, FCL every Tuesday on the Schmodown Twitch channel. Anything else I'm doing? A call to action now. We're gonna start going up. We actually start again tonight after taking a couple of weeks off. We had Mike Kalinowski on earlier and Taylor Robinson on earlier. I'll throw it out there now. When is this airing? Do you know?
It'll be airing probably Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay, so this Sunday we're gonna be having William Bibbiani on. For call to action, and then I don't know when I got to talk to Danny, but we are, like I said, we are going to bring Chill back. We're getting closer and closer. We have to find time where our schedules mess. We can plot out a few guests here or there, but we'll get some more people on that, and probably get some FCL people as well. We're probably going to start throwing some FCL people on Chill to action as well, get a little more involved that way. And I think that's all I do for now. I'm probably forgetting something, but you know, I don't want to be out here to John Rocha with every like 500th shows I do. So I'll leave it like that.
Perfect. Listen, guys, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Cakelove Media. Check out the Opening Pair YouTube podcast with myself and Kyle Gavin break down sports movies. And find me here this week in the FCL with Andrew Ryan and CB, Mr. Chris Barnes himself, every week breaking down the action in the FCL live on Twitch every Tuesday, as Paul said. Paul, thank you once again for your time. Really, really do appreciate it. And this is the end of our third Spotlight series. Thanks very much, everybody.
Thank you.